Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, knee-deep in the playoff season, divisional playoffs this weekend. Back with you again, one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traynor, joined by always, as always, I should say, by the Grambling Brothers, senior editor of MMQB, Gary Grambling, and the managing editor of drfsportsforum.com, Scott Grambling. Everyone's feeling good because they did well in the playoffs. Gentlemen, how's it going?
It's going great. We're on a little bit of a roll here, if I can just quickly recap.
Please do.
We combined to go 7-2-1 in the wild card round. It should have been 7-1-2, but some stubborn arse here, that would be myself.
wouldn't take the points.
Would take the money line on Seattle instead of taking those 2 points. Otherwise, I would have been rejoicing in that backdoor
cover. That line went to 2.5 at game time.
Yep.
And
three some places too.
If you're someone who's actually listening to this, you know what happened. The Janikowski gets hurt. Seahawks can't kick. Have to run a meaningless 2-point conversion and the back door.
A meaningless, meaningful 2-point conversion. Mm-hmm. But
24-22 and good night if you bet Dallas.
That's right. That's right.
That's a rough one.
Yeah.
I went 3-0-1. What was your record?
I ended up
5-1
going, no. I'm going to have to, quickly. What did you go, Gary?
I went 2-1. You went 3-1, Scott.
Okay. I went 3-1. I had Indianapolis on the money line and I had Seattle on the money line. And then, I had the under in the Chargers Baltimore. And if I'm not mistaken, for the second straight week, we all were on the same side as something that came
right
through. We all had the Eagles.
Philly. Mm-hmm. Yep. So 3-1, 2-1, 3-0-1. That's a good week. And last few weeks have been good here.
I'll just give you that recap as well. 22-5-1 since the start of week 17. 33-10-2 combined since the start of week 16.
Not bad.
So it's been a happy holiday season and then some for the MMQB Gambling Show.
I will try to keep it rolling here. For the four games this week, we'll go right in order. We'll start Saturday, 4:35. The Chiefs play their first playoff game of the year at home. Incoming Colts, who beat the Texans very easily last week. Chiefs -5 against the Colts. Total, this is your highest one of the week. Wait, let me double check that. Yes, 57 for the game on the over-under. Scott, you started the year heavily on the Chiefs bandwagon. First playoff game for the Chiefs. Where do you go?
I am going with the Colts here, and I am taking the points. I just think when you look at what this Colts team has done recently and how hot they have been recently, and you combine that with the Chiefs coming back to earth a little bit here, and what I really look at here is the Chiefs' primary strength is that passing game that led the NFL with an average of 8.8 yards per attempt during the regular season. Indianapolis is 7-1 against the spread since the start of 2016 when facing an opponent that's averaging at least 7 yards per pass attempt. They're also 8-1 on the road in the same time frame when facing an opponent that's completing at least 64% of its pass attempts. I just feel like here that even though a lot of the credit is going to Andrew Luck, Marlon Mack, and the Colts' offense at offensive line, and understandably so, it's the defense that has been playing exceptionally well in recent weeks. And to me, this is too many points. Now, I don't buy too much into, but I do buy a little bit into the struggles the Chiefs have had in home playoff games. You think there's got to be a little something to it, and I think this is what's to it. If this team gets behind, if they get behind 14-3, it could be a team that ends up pressing more than they otherwise would if they didn't have that history. And it is recent history as well. I mean, this is a team that's 2-7 all-time in home playoff games. Those two wins were during the first half of the 1990s. You know, under Andy Reid, Kansas City 1-4 in playoff games, and that includes 0-2 at home. Remember last year against the Titans, they were in control, seemingly in control of that game, and end up losing it. I just think that the Colts here have played too well of late once they got everybody back healthy. And to me, I'm looking at them going against a Chiefs team that you know, 2-6-1 against the spread over the final nine games. They weren't hammering teams anymore. And over that nine-game stretch, there were only four games against teams that ended 2018 with a winning record. In those games against teams with winning records, Chiefs 1-3 straight up, 0-3-1 over those four games against the spread. That lone victory, the lone straight-up victory, was that overtime win as a 6.5-point favorite against Baltimore. So I like the Colts here. I really do. I like them an awful lot getting that many points.
Gary?
Yeah, I'll simplify it even more. Colts offense versus Chiefs defense is a bigger mismatch than Chiefs offense versus Colts defense. This Chiefs defense can't – they're terrible. They can't stop anyone. This Colts offense is legitimately good. The only – and just for the sake of playing devil's advocate, and I should mention when I'm doing this show, me personally, I like the four sides I'm picking this week. I don't know which ones I'm going to best bet, so you guys have to sway me one way or the other on these four games here. Patrick Mahomes can break defenses. He can do stuff late in the down that other people can't do, especially in conjunction with Tyreek Hill's speed and Travis Kelce's ability. So you could see, Colts played that very zone-based, keep everything in front of you defense. Tyreek Hill could slip behind that, and Mahomes makes a couple of otherworldly throws, and then there's 14 points that the Chiefs get that most teams wouldn't get against the Colts. But, I think the Colts are just going to win it outright.
I think this is a really, really tough game to handicap for one reason, basically, and one reason only. And it's, for me, it's how much do you put into Andrew Luck? Because I look at it this way. I'm trying to find a way here to pick the Chiefs minus the 5 for this reason. You have all these stats. You can go through all the playoff stats. Andy Reid, Chiefs at home. They have not played a playoff game with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. That's number one.
Agreed.
So what worries me about if the Chiefs have not been the same since the Kareem Hunt
bingo
situation. If he's there, I think I'd actually take him minus the 5.
I don't think they'd be the minus 5.
Right. They have been hurt by that on the field. There's no doubt about it. The Colts have beaten no one over this stretch of 10 games or whatever it is. I mean, it's a lot of Giants.
Not entirely true, though.
Give me their last 10 games.
All right. I'll give them to you in – I'll give
they
them
beat
to you,
the Texans
working
and,
backwards.
They beat the Texans and Cowboys. And then after that, it's garbage.
Titans were a 9-win team.
Garbage, not in the playoffs.
All right. But we'll go through the Chiefs after this.
Yeah.
Giants, garbage.
Right.
Cowboys,
right.
Their team in the final eight.
Right.
They beat them 23-0. Texans.
Right.
A second time.
Right.
Lost to the Jaguars. Dolphins.
Garbage.
Titans.
Garbage.
Jaguars.
Garbage.
And I think we're back to our 10.
That's my point. While the Chiefs have not beaten anyone great, neither have the Colts. And to me, the Colts is all about Andrew Luck. It's all about Andrew Luck. Now, the Chiefs defense has been a problem all year. I feel like they got their act together over the last week or two, but this is to me a stay away game. I don't have faith in either team in this one. I would not be surprised at all if the Chiefs covered. I would be surprised if the Colts won.
You would be?
I would be, because I think the Chiefs have had that kind of year. I don't see it ending Sunday at home in their one playoff game. I think they win a shootout here and, probably don't cover. I think it's a close one. But I don't have any confidence in making a pick on this game. You will not be seeing this in my best bets.
We talked about that a little bit on the deep dive show. A lot of people are going to draw parallels between Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, both guys you create late in the down. Mahomes' arm talent is in another world compared to Watson.
And their overall offensive average talent, Kelce
and
Tyreek Hill and 17, who I'm drawing.
Chris Conley.
He's been playing well for them.
Yep.
They've gotten contributions from everyone there. The guys who filled in for Hunt have played well. They're just not Kareem Hunt. I mean, that's all there is to it.
I'll add this real quick because I'm the resident meteorologist on this show. As you guys know, I have a passion for the Weather Channel and Jim Cantore and all that stuff. Snow showers in the forecast at the time
so
of our table
slow
here.
Things
so if this becomes a weather game here, You got to like the Colts at that point because they have a run game. They have a defense that can stop the run. Chiefs, they have something of a run game. They can't tackle.
Right.
They don't tackle.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just, if I could quickly run backwards through the Chiefs like we did for the Colts, just to point it out. The season finale against the Raiders, they blew the Raiders out. I mean, the Raiders were just
not
dumb.
A real game.
Didn't even
show
up.
It's not a game.
Short week, coming off a Christmas Eve home finale win. All right. Lost by 7 at Seattle as a small favorite. Lost at home to the Chargers as a small favorite.
Right.
Won but failed to cover at home against the Ravens in overtime as a 6.5-point favorite. Failed to cover at Oakland. And then the game before that was that Rams game that was a push that was that video game, Big 12 type game. Before that, you know, home against the Cardinals, didn't cover, 1 by 12. You know, so it's, I think part of the problem you have in trying to get these sample size, there's just not that many good teams in the NFL.
Right.
Like it or not, the Titans and the Texans are above average NFL teams by default. They are. They're better than the league average. They're bad football teams up and down. So I don't know.
But I think the Chiefs are one of the good. I think they're one of the very good teams. I think.
Oh, I don't dispute that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the Colts are as well. I really do. And
I guess I'm just not a full believer. I'm a believer in Andrew Luck. I'm not a full believer yet in the Colts. I guess to me last week being the Texans at home. You know, I mean Bill O'Brien. I've said this a million times. One of the worst in-game head coaches you'll ever see. I don't. You know, Deshaun Watson played terribly. I guess where I'm not giving the Colts defense probably the credit they deserve.
I agree with that.
And again, I think though any defense will struggle against the Chiefs. So for me, it's a stay away game. Boy, we talked a lot about that game. Now we go to the Saturday night game at 8:15, and this will set up to be a good one. The Cowboys go into L.A. to face the Rams. The Rams are -7. The total is 49.5. Cowboys coming off that win against the Seahawks. This will be a Cowboys home game. Don't let the fact that the game's in LA fool you. This will be, I'd be stunned if it's less than 70% Cowboys fans there. I'll do a plug for my podcast, the SI Media Podcast. I had Joe Buck on this week, who's calling the game, and he brought up how the Cowboys, you know this, Gary, train in Oxnard for camp, which is, he said, right basically next to where this stadium is. That stadium will be filled with Cowboys games. Now, I think that might end up helping the Rams, but we'll let Gary take the reins right now on the Rams -7 against the Cowboys total for
it'll be like the old Chargers Qualcomm games where they have to do silent count at their own stadium.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Home away from home for Dallas here. I like the Cowboys for this reason, though. I don't buy the Rams' offensive rebound at this point. I think it's a possibility, but I don't think you can look at the last two games of the season where they beat the Cardinals in Arizona in a game where they jumped out early and they beat the 49ers at home. I don't think you can look at those games and say, well, they righted the ship. A lot of people talked about the split safety looks, the cover four looks that they got during that mini slump there where they almost lost at Detroit, and then they got it handed to them in Chicago, and then they lost at home to the Eagles. I think the bigger issue there was the offensive line. Not to say it's a bad offensive line. It went from a great offensive line to a mediocre offensive line. Cowboys are really good up front. It's like any of these games. It's not a shocker if the Rams end up winning by double digits. But I got a feeling the Cowboys are going to hang around. They're going to have a chance to win this game.
This is really bad for a podcast, but I have to address this. We're 15 minutes into this taping, and I just noticed you're wearing a Nathan Peterman T-shirt.
Let me correct you, Jimmy. It is a Nate Peterman.
I just need to know something. How much did you pay for that shirt?
It was actually a we can do more synergy here. It was a gift, a Christmas gift from Connor Orr.
So Connor Orr hates your guts.
Who,
is what you're telling me?
Of course, is on the MFQB podcast with Albert Breer. So
I'm sitting here looking at this shirt and I'm like, what's going on? And then I see number 2, Bills Peterman. Oh my God, that just threw me.
It's the second best shirt in the studio to the Harry's Harford Whalers throwback.
Harry's definitely not. They're, you're talking two different levels. That is.
I should point out, last year Connor gave me a flaming bag of poo, so this year
he went worse this year. All right, Scott, Cowboys getting 7 against the Rams.
Too many points here. You look at what the Rams have done. All right, over the past 6 games against teams that reached this year's playoffs, 0-5-1 against the spread. I'm with Gary on this one. The Rams have been a team that have been beaten up on the poor and the weak opponents and have been either losing or playing very close games against quality competition. And you look at this Cowboys defense, which now that Sean Lee is no longer on the field, the Cowboys defense is far better with the young linebackers they have in there because of how formidable that defensive line can be, keeping offensive lines from getting to the second level. It's a strong defense, and you look at how they performed on the road against quality competition in recent seasons. I mean, the Cowboys on the road averaging only giving up an average of only 14 points per game over 6 road games against teams with a winning record since the start of 2016. In half dozen road games they've played in the same time frame against opponents that are averaging at least 24 points per game, the Cowboys have allowed an average of only 15.7 points per game. Just think that I'm with Gary. This Rams offense, you know, to say it got right because late in the season they're playing against the Cardinals and playing against the 49ers is not looking at this the right way. I think that there are flaws in this Rams team, and you look at how well the Cowboys have been playing as of late, and I just think that getting 7 points here is a gift.
I like the Cowboys, too. I think the Rams will win. I think the Cowboys will cover. I just think the Cowboys – I think people are sleeping on the Rams and not giving them sort of the respect. I like the fact that they're flying under the radar here, especially after the year they had last year. They lost that first playoff game, so there's that motivation there for them. But I do think the Cowboys, with their defense and Ezekiel Elliott, have the ability to slow the game down, and that's what you want to do against the Rams. I don't think they'll stop the Rams. I think the Rams will score points. They're just not going to score the points that you're used to seeing. And I think it'll be a close game, lower scoring than you may think because of the defense and Elliott. And while defense and running back is nice in these playoffs, you need quarterback play. Dak Prescott can't get the job done. I'm sorry, just can't. So I like the Rams here to win, but I like the Cowboys plus the 7.
I like the under here an awful lot.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I just don't see this score getting into high 20s for both teams.
24-20 you may get a 23-17 type of deal like that.
23-17, I called that on last week's podcast for the Ravens-Chargers game.
There you go.
I thought it was going to be the other way, but that's another story. But the only best bet on that was the under.
All right, now we go to Sunday, 1 o'clock. Chargers, who Scott just mentioned, they go into New England. The Patriots are giving 4. The total is 47.5. This is the one game I like. I love the Patriots here. And I know everyone in the SI.com office is on the Chargers, which is interesting. Let's see where the boys are, Scott.
I think this is the hardest game of the weekend to call. I really do. If I had to play it, I certainly would play the Chargers here getting that many points. I do not think that this line should be more than a field goal. I think when you look at the Patriots' passing offense with the Chargers' defense, I think it's a matchup in favor of the Chargers here. I think that the speed of the Chargers' defense against the relative lack of speed that we've seen out of the Patriots is a factor in this game. I feel like, you know, you look at the Chargers 5-0 against the spread when facing an opponent this season that's averaging at least 7 yards per pass attempt. You know, this is another game I expect to be a bit low scoring. I like the under here as well. And you just look at what the Chargers have done on the road, and I think it's a benefit that they don't have a true home field, so it's like they're playing on the road all the time. But away from home, 7-0, both straight up and against the spread in road games since the start of October. And that's despite the fact that they were favored in only 2 of those 7 games. They've outscored opponents by an average of 10 points per game over those 7 road games. They've won by an average score of 27-17. I feel like this is going to be a close one. I think it's going to be one that goes down to the wire. I feel like it's a coin flip type of game from a straight up perspective. And because of that, I think getting the 4 points here is just shows value on the Chargers side of the ball.
Even though you're wearing the Nathan Peterman shirt, we'll let you speak. Gary, go ahead.
I'm telling you, Jimmy, it's Nate. It says Nate Peterman on air. Yeah, I'm in pretty much total agreement with Scott. I'm probably a little more confident in the Patriots in this one. I think you're going to touch on this a little bit, Jimmy. But what we saw the Chargers do to the Ravens last week, they did in part with the 7 defensive backs against Lamar Jackson. They did in part because that was a good strategy, obviously, as we saw. They also did in part because they have no linebackers healthy left. They have I believe it's Kyle Emanuel and the USC guy who's Hayes Pollard. Those are plotting backup linebackers who would normally be covering kicks, and that's about it. So there's a bit of a pick your poison type of thing going on here for the Chargers. Where do you go light and then risk, Patriots put James Devlin and Sony Michel in the backfield and they just run for 7 yards every play? Or do you go heavy and hope that either your two superstar pass rushers, Bosa and Ingram, make up for the fact that you have 2 linebackers on the field or one linebacker on the field who is a liability in coverage? I agree with Scott on the game flow. I think this is a game that goes under. I think it's a low scoring game, but I'm still 50-50 on whether to best bet the Patriots here.
I love the Patriots for a bunch of reasons. First of all, undefeated at home this year, and if you look at all their splits, scoring yards, this, that, they really are completely different team at home. Chargers now last week in Baltimore, this week in New England, so the back-to-back long travel weeks. But everyone has wanted to, put the Patriots in the coffin and shut the lid. And to me, until it happens, I'm going to keep – if they're at home and you have the coaching advantage, Bill Belichick against Anthony Lynn, I think a quarterback advantage with – even though Brady not as good as he's always been, Philip Rivers 0-7 lifetime against the Patriots or against Tom Brady, all of that tells me Patriots. And to me, the Charger game last week, I don't count it. They played a quarterback who can't complete a pass. I can't put any stock into that game. To me, that wasn't a real game. For them to leave Jackson in when he could not make any completions, it turned the game into a joke. So I'm not going to put any stock into that Chargers win. I think Gary said this to me before the show started. It seems like Melvin Gordon gets carted off in every single game. To me, the Patriots here, they'll dink and dunk all day with James White and Sonny Michel. Julian Edelman, I think, is going to have a big game. They don't have the deep threat, but you know what? Outside of what, 2 or 3 years with Randy Moss, they've never had the deep threat. Belichick knows how to get around that.
They've never won a Super Bowl with a deep threat.
Yeah,
when they've not had the deep threats, yeah. They've been winning Super Bowls.
Listen, Brady's not the same. He's probably got a little injury there with the left knee. Gronk is obviously banged up. But it seems like at home, they always, always get the job done. And, how many times in the Patriot era here have they been 1 and done? You're talking about 4 points, so they could win by a field goal, they could win by 1. And the weird thing about betting 4, this is going to be a little off the beaten path, but I'm curious what you know, with the way the kicking is, betting 4 is a weird number these days because it ends up where, someone misses an extra point and then everyone's going on back to 2-point convert, and the score gets totally out of whack. Mm-hmm. 4 and 3 are not what they used to be when you bet.
Yeah.
And we all know Chargers kicking in big games. It's another factor here for the Patriots.
It's not an easy place to kick. Either Foxborough. Yeah. I start off by saying I think this is the hardest game to call of the 4. And part of the reason is just because I don't really know how this Patriots team is going to respond now that they're tested. They just have not been tested. And that's a rarity in recent years. I feel like that they've had second half of the season games against quality opponents. That hasn't happened this year. I mean, the Patriots played the final 9 games of 2018 without facing a team that ended the regular season with more than 9 victories. Chargers, on the other hand, they had road wins in Kansas City and in Baltimore. You can discount that, but in Kansas City. And that's just over the past 4 weeks. Now, the Patriots did face a pair of 9-win teams over that 9-game stretch, and they lost both times. They lost 34-10 to Tennessee, in mid-November and 17-10 to Pittsburgh in mid-December. Now, Pittsburgh is the one team that both the Patriots and Chargers have faced in the last month. L.A. won in Pittsburgh 33-30 on the road. I just – that's what makes this one more difficult because, yes, the Patriots did go undefeated at home this year. At the time, those Packers and Vikings victories that they had – seemed more impressive than they do now with hindsight because right. those teams turned out to be not very good.
But you're giving me all regular season stuff. When the playoffs start, Belichick and Brady are on another level. I don't disagree. Whatever happened before Sunday is completely useless and meaningless. Those two, when the money is on the line, it's a different ballgame. Anthony Lynn, I got to see him do it first before, you know, I'm going to say he's beaten Bill Belichick.
That's fair.
In Foxborough.
But I think on the other side of the coin, there's more, I'll put it this way, there's more uncertainty this season
right, absolutely.
Than in the last
absolutely.
5 years.
Absolutely.
Because it used to be money in the bank. Remember like Tim Tebow coming right. in there, Marcus Mariota coming in there.
Right.
I think there's more uncertainty
absolutely.
With this Patriots team yeah. than yeah. probably than in the last 5 years.
And then the week wraps up at 4:40 on Sunday. Biggest spread of the week, Saints at home giving 8 points to the Eagles. Total 51. Saints minus 8, total 51 with the rejuvenated Philadelphia Eagles and Nick Foles. Scott.
I'm taking the points here with the Eagles. I'm going to continue to ride the Eagles here. You know, I just think what Foles has done and what he's done on third and fourth downs just absolutely remarkable. I mean, he's now 10-2 over his dozen starts over the past two seasons. I think it's fair to throw one of those out and make it 10-1 because the one you throw out is the one where he played only one quarter in the season finale last season, and Philadelphia rested all of its starters because it was a meaningless game. They'd already locked up the top seed. You know, with Foles in that game against the Bears, 11 pass attempts on third and fourth downs, and he completed 8 of them for 79 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions. Past 5 postseason games, dating back to obviously last January, he's completed 77% of his 52 attempts on third and fourth downs for 522 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's 146.5 passer rating. I can't really explain it in terms of the X's and O's. The guy just makes plays when they need to make plays. And I think the strength of this Saints defense is more the front seven than it is the secondary. And the Saints allowed an average of only 80.2 rushing yards per game. That was second only to Chicago's 80. I think it was Chicago gave up 1,260 yards, and the Saints gave up 1,263 yards. So right there about the same. Since Doug Peterson took over as the Eagles head coach prior to 2016, his teams have gone 9-2 straight up, 9-1-1 against the spread when facing an opponent that allows an average of 90 or fewer rushing yards per game. It's a team that the Eagles 8-3, both straight up and against the spread under Peterson, when facing an opponent with a win percentage of at least 75%. And they also tend to stay hot once they get hot. 11-5 against the spread, 12-4 straight up under Peterson when coming off back-to-back straight-up victories. I just think that the Eagles make a game out of this. I do not see them getting blown out. The defense is playing much, much better since that game where they got blown out in New Orleans. Since then, Philly's defense has given up an average of fewer than 19 points per game. And to me, it just adds all up of being a ball game here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Before I say anything meaningful, I'm going to give you my favorite stat here from this game. So, as Scott mentioned, Foles 10-1 in meaningful start, and that's legitimate. They sat everyone in that Cowboys game week 17 last year. 10-1 in meaningful starts. Only team that beat him, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Bucks.
Oh, God.
Saints. Drew Brees is 13-1 at home over his last 14. Only team that beat him, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Bucks. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is the real winner here this week. But
I've got a buddy who's a Redskins fan who is he wants Ryan Fitzpatrick to be the Redskins quarterback more than anything in the world.
Look, I don't know if you're going to win games with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but it will not be boring. The Redskins were really boring this year.
Yep.
It'll be interesting no matter what. I'm going Saints here. I'm going with the head over the heart. I'll just point this out. Foles was shaky in the first half last week. He turned it on, and obviously it's tough to win in Soldier Field. So I don't want to make it sound like he was,
He always seems shaky to me. But he makes plays when they have to make plays.
The third downs are absurd,
fourth downs.
I thought last week you saw a little bit more of Darren Sproles than you usually see. I could see him having a big game here on Sunday against his former team. The guy always just gets – he's always there getting the job done. It's crazy.
No, absolutely. Look, absolutely. I think if you look at Foles playing, let's call it a B-minus game. Let's say with that performance, they probably don't win in New Orleans. And I think if you go back to the Super Bowl last year, which is the only other non-home game Foles has played in the postseason here during this run, no Malcolm Butler, you're playing a bunch of backup defensive backs. I don't want to discount it. It's a tremendous performance, but I think this is a fairly stiff test in New Orleans in that not only does he have to beat a pretty good defense in their own building, but he's going to have to put up points. He's going to have to put up 30-something points to stick around.
You're convinced of that. You really think that you're penciling the Saints in for 35, 38 points? I'm not saying that's absurd. Look, I would not be shocked if this game ends 38-13. I just would not be shocked about that. However, I just can't go against what I've seen. They just make plays when they have to make plays. I know it seems absurd, right? This is going to be the 264th game since the start of the regular season. And, you know, I do my homework for this podcast and bring out some stuff. I feel like this one, I'm almost like just throwing out the numbers and just being like, he makes plays. And I just feel like that's the kind of game this is.
There's been no logical reason to pick Nick Foles to win win any of the games in the postseason last year. Last week, as we talked about, yes, there was a reason to take the +6 here with the Eagles. But when it comes to this game, I think the Saints are going to put up points for this reason. Playoff football. Officials don't want to throw flags. We know that. They don't want to throw flags on pass interference, but they especially don't want to throw flags on holding. So I think you have a pretty even matchup between the Saints' offensive line and the Eagles' pass rush. I think they're just gonna. I mean, you saw it a little bit from the Bears last week. They kind of held the crap out of them,
right.
And that's how they were able to run all those double moves on those Eagles' corners and get the big plays in the second half. I think it's a whole game of that. And if conversely, officials don't want to throw flags in the postseason, but if those Eagles, those young cornerbacks are grabbing on to Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, they're going to throw flags on them.
I can't see the Eagles winning this game. The 8 points, though, is very tempting. I think there's a couple of things here. The Eagles are sort of – it's like they're playing with house money. They're very loose here. No one thought they'd go into Chicago and win. No one thought they'd get to the playoffs. I do have to believe, and how much stock do you put in it? I don't know, but I have to believe the Eagles are. There's got to be some revenge motivation after a thoroughly, thoroughly embarrassing loss in New Orleans this year was 48-7, I think it was.
Yep.
I have to think, Doug Peterson has been using that all week. I just think the Saints are way too. I think the Saints are just much more talented. I don't think they're a little more talented. I think they're a lot more talented with Kamara, Ingram, and Thomas, and Breeze. And yes, I'm not denying the Nick Foles magic. It's there. It's real. I can't see the Eagles winning. I'm on the fence about the I want to pick the Eagles because I sort of want this close game. I think if you get a cover here, it's late, backdoor. I don't see the Eagles. I see the Saints basically leading throughout, and I want the Nick Foles story to go on.
I agree. It's head over heart on this.
Yes.
The one other thing I'll say is I know we all want to combine last postseason with this postseason with the Eagles. Nick Foles is still doing Nick Foles thing. The team is worse.
Right.
They have no run game.
Right.
The secondary, it's not only the cornerbacks, who actually are playing better of late. No Rodney McLeod back there is probably their most valuable pass defender in that secondary. I think they're going to give up like 38 points, and I Yeah. I don't know if Foles has another 30 in him.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with the analysis. I really don't. I just there's, again, they just make plays when they have to make plays. And I know that sounds, you know, and again, this is the 264th game. We haven't been just kind of tossing out all the logic. But with this one, I'm almost ready to toss out the logic. I will point this out, too, and I had somebody in my office accuse me of this, saying, oh, you're going to pick the Eagles' money line because you got the Saints at 16-1 to win the Super Bowl, and now you're just going to hedge against that going all the way. No, that's not what I'm doing. And I'm not taking the Eagles' money line here.
Right.
I did end up putting a little bit on the Eagles' money line with the Bears because the more I looked at that game, I'm like, well, if I'm going to take the 6 points, I feel like if the game's close late, then it's going to be Foles that ends up making the play. And that sequence down there before the fourth down touchdown, it was almost like there they are. It's almost like they were so sure they were going to make the play on fourth down, they were just running out the clock
right. And
taking time away from the Bears. It's just there's really not much of a logical explanation for it. But I'm not taking the Eagles' money line. I am taking the points here.
And it is the biggest spread of the weekend. You're all getting 8 in that game. All right, that wraps up our analysis of the games. Of course, now we are not done. As always, we close it out with the Best Bet segment. All right, we've been hot. Can we keep it up? That is the question. Gary, get it rolling. Best Bets.
All right, I'm going I think the Gramblings are going to be duplicating here on a couple of these. I am taking Dallas with the +7 at LA, and I'm also taking the under in that game. 49.5 is the number we have, I believe. I'm gonna go Indianapolis. I'm gonna go Indianapolis +5.5 at Kansas City here. 5.5, 5.5 is how humans say it.
Yes.
I won't say it like a robot. I'm gonna go Chargers Patriots under 47.5.
47.5, yeah,
even
that,
better.
Take that half.
Even better. And I'm gonna best bet New Orleans -8 versus the Eagles here. And I'll add. Should I do prop bets now, or should we? There's two I want to throw
Go
in
ahead.
Here. It's not really a prop bet, but I do like Dallas on the money line here +270. I think there's a legitimate like 40-45% chance they win that game outright. The other one, and I know I just got burned by Doug Baldwin last week because Brian Schottenheimer refused to to utilize the forward pass in that game until the final 5 minutes. But Golden Tate, 6-plus catches, +231. He's trending up in usage. He had not played 40 snaps in a game until Week 17. He played 40 in Week 17. He played 41 last week, even though he was banged up and had to come out for a little while in that game.
And if you like the Saints +8, it makes sense because Eagles would be throwing every down
gonna
late.
They're going to be chasing points. He has by far the best matchup when he's on the field with P.J. Williams trying to guard him. And last time, it was a similar scenario, though. He was just learning the offense. He was still targeted 8 times and had 5 catches in that game.
I love the value there. What did you say it was? +231.
Yeah. You can
that's good value.
+231. And then I have this one was weird, but I like it a lot. Patriots to win by 5 or fewer points +300.
That's
on
a good
one. This is on sportsinteraction.com, right. If I could. So if you're
sure
if you're
you
on
can.
The internet, http://www. So yeah, +300, and like we said, I think that's going to be a low scoring game, and I think you could get one of those things where Patriots are up 10 with 2 minutes to go, Chargers put together that touchdown drive, and there's your money.
It's funny you say if you're on the internet. I've done nothing for the past 5 days but watch a Sopranos marathon on HBO, and they had a great scene where, remember the old days of like AOL and dial-up and only one person in the household could be on the internet? And Carmella's using the computer, and AG's like, are you offline yet? Could you imagine if that was the case and you had to go make your wagers and someone in the family is, you know, you need to get on 5 dimes and someone's on the...
How about in-game betting
Yeah. Thank God we've evolved to where we can gamble easily now.
I was banned from the dial-up by dad, by LARF. I used to go on there and check...
Don't tell us what
I don't
want to
know.
No, check box scores. Check the old Ripken-Palmero Orioles.
Yeah, I'm sure. Scott, best bets.
So Gary had said earlier in the show that he had not decided. He was waiting to be talked into some of these. So, bro, I guess I talked you into a couple of these. Huh? Is that fair?
Yeah, Dallas I was on. Colts, I feel like I might regret the Colts. I think Jimmy, I think Jimmy's got the read on the Chiefs, but I am going against them and going with the Colts.
All right, I'm taking the Colts and the points, and that is for us five. In the 5.5, where are we on Colts?
Five and a half.
5.5.
Gary said 5.5. I didn't even know what that
it's
meant.
It's actually 5 right now, but
all right.
Well, it's 5 right now. We got to go with 5. That's what we got.
5. So Gary, you got Colts at 5.
Okay,
as well.
5. That's fine.
I think just the talk kind of pushed it down.
Well, everyone's on the Colts. Everyone's on the Colts. That line, I think, that may by Saturday afternoon, I think it's going to be even lower.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm taking the Cowboys plus the 7. I'm taking the Cowboys Rams under 49.5, and I'm taking the Chargers Patriots under 47.5. Those are my 4. My favorite prop bet, I'll just give you the 1, is James White over 50 receiving yards. You got to lay a little bit. It's minus 115. But I'm with you on that one, Jimmy. I think when you look at this Chargers defense gave up more receiving yards to opposing running backs than any NFL team during the regular season. And I do think that the Patriots are I think the Patriots early might try and stretch a little bit and target Gronk and Hogan, but I don't think it's going to last long. And I think ultimately, like what you said, Jimmy, there's going to be a lot of James White and a lot of Julian Edelman in the short passing game. So that's where I am going here. Just in case anybody cares, I'm actually going under 28.5 on the first half line for the Colts-Chiefs game. I think it could have a slow start and pick up in the second half.
I got 3 best bets for you. Under 49.5, Dallas Rams. I know, Gary, was that one of your picks, Scott? Yep, so we're all on that. Under 49.5, Dallas Rams, so that could be interesting. I like the Patriots minus 4, and I like the over 51 in the Eagles-Saints game. I think the Saints put up, high 30s there. I think the Eagles get into the mid-20s, and you got a nice little over for some cash. So 3 from me on the best bets. And that'll wrap it up for this week. Divisional playoff week in the NFL. Hopefully we keep the hot streak rolling. You can cash in.
33-10-2 since the start of week 16 between the three of us.
There you go. And then we'll see you right back here next week for the AFC and NFC title games on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.